miles per hour. Monterey Bay Area Boaters forecast for this evening. Small craft advisory is in effect overnight. Tonight, northwest winds 15 to 20 knots with gusts as high as 25 knots. Wind weighs 4 to 5 feet. West swell around 2 feet at 10 seconds and southwest swell around 2 feet at 15 seconds. KSCO Newstalk time, 8:06. Time now for Wake the Bear Radio.
The following sponsored program are not necessarily those of KSCO Radio, its staff, management, or advertisers. If something is said with which you disagree, please call us during the program in order to help us balance comments.
Welcome to Wake the Bear Radio with your host, Brandon Johnson, Chris Hurst, and Ron Powers.
All right, we're here with Wake the Bear Radio. This is, I think it's week 52, and thank you very much. I actually have the elephant in the room helping me technically tonight. Thank you so much, ladies, because both of my co-hosts are off campus right now, and they're going to be calling in. Actually, Chris is calling in right now. She'll be patched through in a second, and we're going to be actually getting back into all of the details that we have been going over for the past 53 weeks. It's amazing to me. Thank you, ladies, so much. It's amazing to me that we've actually covered so much material over the last year. I was talking to Chris earlier, and I was saying, oh my gosh, I'm a different person than I was a year ago, and certainly a lot has changed in the last year. So we have covered a ton of material. We're going to cover some material tonight. I'm excited about tonight, even though the actual let me see. Hold on. Is Chris here? Chris, are you on yet?
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Excellent. And I think you're going to jump on Zoom as well so I can see your beautiful face. And
I can't do that. It says unable to join this meeting because of the ID, so we'll have to scrap the Zoom.
Scrap the Zoom. We can do that. Your voice is here, and that's what matters because we're on radio. Ha, ha, ha. Well, hey, welcome. I know you're off campus, and so is Ron. Ron might call in, but I want to just jump right into it. I know that the news cycle has been a little eerie and slow lately. You were saying something about that, and I wanted to jump in with that first, and then we can get into the books we're reading and then the topics of over the last couple months.
Yeah, it just seems that the news is all over the map. You know, usually you can pick up some themes and what is the narrative this week, and it just feels like there's a shoe that is going to drop that people are waiting for. And even the news cycle isn't quite sure what that shoe is. I mean, there's rumors in China, rumors in Ukraine and Russia. There's things going on in America. And then we have this hurricane coming in, and
wow.
And it seems to be disrupting. It'll be interesting to see if it disrupts communication lines. And, you know, right now Ian is about to hit land in Florida, isn't it? And it's gone on to the West Coast on the Gulf side, and it is a Category 3 right now, but it's supposed to go up to a Category 4. So people are boarding up their businesses and their homes, and they're evacuating.
Yeah, we just...
So they were shutting down the J6 hearings because of it, which is so strange because, you know, J6 in Washington, D.C.
Right.
But they've decided they're going to shut it down, and they're not going to do any more of the unselect committee until after the midterms.
Does that mean the storm is among us or upon us? I wonder, there was a prophetic person that actually declared that a storm would come physically and during this next week, and that it would be redirected. So I don't know if that's totally from the Lord or not, but I'm going to agree with that storm would be redirected and we would completely miss its trajectory to be hitting Florida. I just declare that in Jesus' name.
Yeah, Lord, we just ask that anybody in danger, you would just put your wings of protection around them, and that you would care for them and for their family, for their personal items, and that you would keep people safe, and that you would de-energize this storm and bring it back down to a lower category and even not even a hurricane at all.
Amen. Amen. You know, the other thing you mentioned, there was, you know, you said wars and rumors of wars, which that sounds like Matthew 24 to me. There will be wars and rumors of wars, Jesus said, but the end is not yet. And but I think of the rumor that was going out that something would happen on the weekend of the 24th, which is the beginning of the Rosh Hashanah, which is the beginning of the Jewish New Year. And then, of course, we heard all these rumors of a potential coup in China, and then mainstream media saying, oh, no, that's not real. And it seems like there's too many reports for it not to be something real. We know that China controls all of the media that comes out of there because it's a communist regime. So there could very well be something going on. I've heard people say things like, well, maybe it's a fake coup or an attempt to, like, try to see who are loyal to Xi and who's loyal to the Communist Party. That's some of the people have been coming up with. But we don't know for sure. We haven't had confirmation, so independent confirmation is needed. But, you know, there's definitely a storm among us. And there was this quote that was the German chancellor was speaking before Parliament, and he said that on the September 24th, that people will remember where they were that day, like a JFK assassination or a 9/11. So there was all this interest, you know, interest and buzz and hubbub on the different comms that something was going to happen this weekend. And then, of course, that came through, you know, with China. So people were wondering if that was it. But, you know, nothing, we haven't anything confirmed. So, interesting.
Well, we did our own wag the dog reporting. We understand that the media and the government sometimes creates narratives that are not reality. And so it is hard to know what is really going on in a place as far away as China. I mean, we've seen where they have Hollywood sets, and they've sent pictures in the past of old episodes and said that they were going on right now. Distorted things. So when we think about what is really happening, we really have to go with our discernment with the Lord. We have to have some spiritual discernment. We have to have the best sources that we can find. And if there's a narrative going on in this administration and with mainstream media, you've got to be a little bit suspect.
Yeah, we're living in an age of deceit where the mass media are masters of deception and spin. And, you know, I know it's kind of fatiguing to have to try to stay on top of it. I know that a lot of pastors and friends of mine are like, man, I just can't stay on top of all this stuff. And how do you do it? And I just kind of tell people, listen, I'm taking everything to the Lord in prayer. I'm asking God to show me what to really focus on. I'm using spirit of discernment. Not everything that's going through is real. A lot of it is misinformation purposely. Sometimes it's, you know, even good guys giving purpose, you know, misinformation out there. And it's just, you have to wade through it. But one of the things I do know is this, that the church is called to speak out against evil. That's part of our job in preaching the gospel. And I know that you and myself have both been reading some recent books that kind of challenge the church towards that. What's the one you're reading right now?
Oh, I picked up Mario Marilla's book. You know, he started out in the Bay Area as an evangelist and has seen a lot of revival going on in California. It's called Do Not Leave Quietly. And it's,
wow.
The thesis is that the church is supposed to be involved in every mountain of society, and that the greatest existential threat to our nation's staying, a nation that's a constitutional republic against Marxism, is the Christian church. Mm-hmm. So we are the one thing that's standing in the way of Marxism. And with that in view, he challenges the church, what are you going to do when the days of, like, Bonhoeffer happen? When, if something like Nazi Germany happened, what would the church do? And we need to think about that beforehand. Mm-hmm. Are we relevant? Are we going to take a stand? Or are we going to leave quietly, that, like they did in Germany? And that's where he got the title, Do Not Leave Quietly. If we don't have a voice in our society in our districts, our regions, our state, our nation, then we're not really doing what the church is called to do.
Right, and we're in, and I think we were talking about this earlier, we're in a multifaceted attack on every level of our society. Part of the reason that I think we're there, and one of the things that Eric Metaxas says in his book, The Letter to the American Church, is that we have given over all of the seven mountains of culture to a secular society. And that's part of the reason why we've lost a stronghold of truth, and that the church can easily take back that stronghold of truth if we speak the truth. But if we remain silent, we're going to be held accountable. And in his book, he quotes Bonhoeffer multiple times. You know, he wrote a 500, 600 page book on the life of Dietrich Bonhoeffer. But he quotes him here in the beginning of his book. He says, "Silence in the face of evil is itself evil. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. God will not hold us guiltless." And that's kind of an indictment on the church. There's a lot of churches out there right now that are not speaking out. They're not speaking out against critical race theory, which is truly Marxism, invading our schools, invading the youngest among us, the most vulnerable. The transgender agenda, attacking, and I was talking to a friend just recently. They said, "Yeah, my daughter, you know, she likes to play sports, and she's kind of a tomboy." And somebody told her, "Oh, well, maybe you're really just a boy inside." And I'm like, "This girl's like what, 7 years old?" I'm like, "Come on, that whoever said that needs to be slapped. I mean, come on. I mean, not literally, but they need to wake up to what's going on." There's an attack on our children today. There's an attack, and the church needs to really stand up. And that's one of the things that, you know, the book I'm reading, Letter to the American Church by Eric Metaxas, is he says, you know, that during the rise of the Third Reich in Nazi Germany, the church had an opportunity to speak against the rise of Nazi Germany. And they didn't do it. And he was considered a hothead. He was considered, "Hey, don't rock the boat." And he really spoke out. And he was for like 15 years. And they you know, he finally was executed because I think he was actually a spy against the Nazis. But he really put his money where his mouth was and said, "Listen, our job is to fight tyranny. Our job is that, you know, Satan is the greatest tyrant. And our job is to push back against the evil that's going on in our culture. And this Nazi regime is against everything the church stands for, and we need to speak out." And that's going on right now. All these things that are going on that we listed, you know, CRT and this sexualization of children is against everything the church should be, you know, it's against everything we stand for. And the church has to speak out. We cannot remain silent. We will be held accountable. And that's basic thesis of his book. So,
and I think that's why we're talking about it right now, is there's an urgency, I think, in the air to realize we are at a tipping point, and we cannot afford to just say, "Well, let's see how this thing plays out," because silence will determine how this thing will play out. I just think we've used the Mount Carmel, Elijah and the prophets of Jezebel, of Baal, analogy before, but we really are, and I just want to speak this out over the airwaves to the church, we really are being asked that same question that Elijah said to the people of Israel during the time when they were just watching people being sacrificed, child sacrifice. They were going away from God, and they had a very perverted and distorted society because of the queen and a very feckless King Ahab, and the statement that Elijah said to the people was, "How long will you halt between two positions?" And the word was as though the nation was lame; it couldn't walk steadily on two feet.
Mm.
And so, how long will you halt between two positions? If Baal is God, serve him. If Yahweh is the Lord, then serve him.
Mm.
And then he made the great statement, "The God who answers by fire, he is the Lord." And they built an altar, and God showed up. And that's where we are as a nation. We cannot afford to stay silent. And we are the hands and feet of God in our society. We are Jesus with skin on, hands and feet. And so it's important that we are relevant in every subject, in every mountain of culture, whether it's government or education, business or the family mountain, whatever it is, media or arts and entertainment. We have got to show up, and that includes the mountain of religion that says that Christians don't have, they shouldn't be political.
Well, yeah, and one of the things that was interesting, I mean, he quotes Alex de Tocqueville, the French writer, historian, philosopher who came over to America and early on in the beginning of the founding of the nation, and said one of the things that he saw in this nation was it was a deeply religious culture. They were deeply reliant on God, and that was what made us stand out to all from all the other nations around. And one of the things that's, you know, that God has given America is we carry the torch of liberty for the world. And if we do not, it's a huge burden, responsibility. God's chosen this nation to carry liberty, and as broken as it is and as messed up as it is, that's our call. It's not, and it's not, you know, that being chosen, one of the things he says in his book is it's not like you, it's never something to be celebrated that we're like we won a contest or anything. God chose us because this nation realized that our greatness does not flow through our blood. Our greatness flows by acknowledging the blood of Christ, that he is the Lamb of God. And that's what this nation was founded on, is this belief that if we honor God, he will bless our nation. And he gave us the job of protecting liberty all throughout the world. And we have moved away from that. And like you said, you know, Marxism, you know, you cannot, the church is the greatest threat to Marxism. Marxism cannot take over unless it controls and shuts down the church. It silences the church. And that's what's going on right now, is we are seeing a massive silence going on throughout our culture. I mean, literally pastors preaching about, well, I don't want to be political. I'm like, dude, abortion is killing children. It's everything that we do has a political justification, or a political correlation. Everything we believe. And see, this is the difference between like China, they say, oh yeah, you can go to your building and you can do your little worship ceremony thing. But when you come out, you are a subject of the state, and we don't want that to affect how you and the rest of your life. And that's the same thing being demanded of us today with this whole separation of church and state. It never was meant that we would not have our belief, our deeply held religious convictions, be that they wouldn't affect the public square. And but that is what a lot of Christians, a lot of pastors, a lot of churches are believing. And it's a systematic silencing of the church, and it has to change. We cannot continue to be silent, or we will be held responsible. And the last thing I was going to say is that, you know, he talks about his book. There's a bunch. It's a great book. I'm not going to go into much further, but we redefine what the word gospel means. We say, well, we don't want to be political because for the sake of the gospel. Well, the gospel is that Jesus died for all of our sins and he forgave us, and that we are all broken sinners. And you have to repent of sin to actually come to Jesus. You have to say, I repent, I change my ways, I'm sick of my sin. I repent and turn to God and for salvation. Well, if you're not allowed to talk about any of the sins of our culture, then how are you going to call people to repentance? Repentance from what? You know, repentance from the wayward ways that we've been living, the destruction on our culture, the destruction of people, greed and lust, and all of these various things that control and destroy humans. So, go ahead.
I agree. I mean, I remember in Isaiah 59, the Lord is speaking through Isaiah, and he says, then the Lord saw it, and it displeased him. And he was referring to the evil that was in the land that wasn't being addressed. And he saw that there was no justice. And that's really where we are in our nation right now, that we can't seem to get justice for the innocent. There just doesn't seem to be a true rule of law. And he saw that there was no man that was willing to stand in the gap as an intercessor. And I do think we have a praying church that has arisen, but I just want to address pastors right now. I do think that there are some things that people are wondering. If you don't speak up, I honestly think that many in your congregations they're going to believe that you don't care. I think that you are ignoring your duty and your power to stop what has been persecution in the church by not saying, no, we will not be silent. We will not close down. We will not stop singing. We will not stop worshiping. So pastors are supposed to protect the church, and there are many pastors that just complied. It's one thing after the 2 weeks, but once they began to realize what was going on, the protection should have come up, and there should have been an active voice. I honestly think God will seek a replacement if pastors do not change. And I think government won't allow you to remain neutral. You're gonna have to take a stand. This thing is going to get hotter before it is resolved, and pastors have got to determine which side are you going to stand on. Are you going to stand for the church and for God's righteousness, or are you going to try and stay silent and watch watch the Jews go off on the train to the concentration camp? I mean, that's the analogy. And finally, I think you're endangering the souls of believer who are thinking that it's okay to be in a mindset of the left, that kind of wokeism. I don't use that term very often, but that it's okay to be anti-life, to be pro-abortion. It's okay to be part of the transgender agenda. So people need to know what is evil and what isn't. What is God saying about issues and what isn't? Or I honestly think he's going to be removing some pastors.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because, you know, it's like if you don't speak out, then what happens is people think, well, maybe God doesn't care about that if the pastor doesn't care about it enough to speak out about it. And so that's what's basically being communicated. So, well, you want to jump in to the various topics. One of the things we want to do this week is we're looking back at the year and we're saying, hey, look at the things we've covered in a year. Man, gosh, haven't we covered a lot, Chris? I mean, we have covered a lot of ground. And it's been
And I think the reason we want to do that is so that we see where have we come as a nation. As we picked topics at Wake the Bear Radio, we really were seeking the Lord, and we saw that we were fighting this thousand front war. And it might have seemed like we were all over the place, but the reality is, the war is all over the place. It's in the schoolyard, it's in the businesses, it's in the families, it's in the hospitals. It's in the churches. It's everywhere. And so when we chose our topics, we felt that they were relevant, that California, as the bear that needs to be awakened, needed to know about these things. So, yeah, let's go for it.
Well, I think we left off show 18. We went into show 19, which is basically the attack on children. The show 19 was how children are being, there's a war actually waged against our little ones. Whether it's killing them in the womb, praise God for the overturning of Roe v. Wade, but trafficking them. I mean, I'm still waiting for that movie, The Sound of Freedom, to come out by Caviezel, but it's basically all about the human trafficking that's been going on, and that's been being uncovered. And there's just a multifaceted attack on children to warp their self-image, to indoctrinate them with radical ideologies, inject them with, injections they don't need, which the scientists say, well, kids don't actually have the VMAT. They don't actually have the gene that causes them to get sick from corona, but we're going to inject them anyways. And, not fully tested injection. So there's definitely a war going on. So we talked in that one, that week on show 19, we were talking about Dress a Girl and Loads of Love, H2O. Ron Powers, our co-host, he actually works with a group called H2O, His to Offer or Water. And they do also work with a group called Dress a Girl, and they will actually give dresses to girls in foreign countries. And a nice dress will actually keep traffickers away from them because they think, well, that someone cares for this kid. So therefore, if we take them, they'll be missed. And therefore, we'll get caught. And so they don't. And so one of the major movements out there that Ron is involved in is Dress a Girl. Pretty amazing.
But it really was amazing. So we spent some time talking about children and the attacks on them. And we went, the following week, we talked a little bit about how the military was being used as a guinea pig.
Yep.
And the requirement of vaccinations and how strange that was. Was this an intentional demilitarizing or weakening our military by making the top soldiers sick from possibly the vaccine? So the requirement was there. I just want to bring up, too, that last week it was very quiet, but the Marine Corps, they revoked their the necessity for Marines to have vaccinations.
Praise God.
So they've gone the other way, but they were very quiet about it. So this whole, what we saw was not a healthy thing back at SO 20. Thank God they have revoked that, and that the military, hopefully it goes into all the services and the military academies.
Yeah, and I know that there were multiple legal battles going on, multiple lawsuits that were filed. I know that it was Pacific Justice Institute filed a lawsuit against all five branches of the military. Interesting, we don't hear any of that. And then when they demand everybody get it, but then when they renege on it, they don't put that on the front page, and it's like, oh, you know, and we barely hear about it. So praise God, we need to celebrate the wins. That would be a win. I mean, obviously, making our military sick and decommissioning a bunch of them because of their choice to not take an experimental jab, that weakens our defenses, and that is not good. That is not good at all. So I'm glad we covered that on week 20. How about 21?
Well, we actually talked about Patel Patriot's idea about devolution, which was a talk about was the administration that's currently in power, the Biden administration. Were they really still in power, or was there a shadow government going on?
Yeah, then we mentioned Kim Clement. He gave a prophecy, maybe 7 years before Trump ever ran for office, that there would be at one point two presidents. That there would be how can that possibly be two presidents? He's like, I don't understand, but this is what God revealed to me. There will be a time where America will have two presidents. And Patel Patriot actually talks about all of the things that Trump did and all the changes he made to his cabinet before he left office and a bunch of the executive orders and how they seemed to fit that somehow he put the military in charge after he left. And that's a great, Patel Patriot is a great, if anybody wants to check that out, there's some really great information there. A lot about China in that one too.
Yeah, and then we talked to the next week about our local Guardians of Youth, and we really wanted people to get involved in Santa Cruz activism and to know that there are things going on at a local level. And so we highlighted the Guardians of Youth movement in the Santa Cruz County area for the children and for schools, and that we're going into the Office of Education and the school board meetings trying to get some things changed, especially for the mandates, both of the masks and the vaccines, where there was no choice for the children at that time. They wanted to begin to at least allow parents to have some say in what their children needed for the school environment.
Yeah, that was a great week. We had Jacob B. on here with Guardians of Youth, and there was definitely a movement. We spoke out. There were multiple protests that happened in our town, and they were sizable and they were loud. And I think the school board heard us. They may not have liked it or agreed with us, but at least they heard that people were not okay with the direction everything was going. And that was in concert with what's been taking place in Sacramento with all of these bills. There was like 12 really horrible bills that were attacking school choice and parents' rights, one right after another. And it was really atrocious. So
it was important too, I think, to have that solidarity in our community, because parents, I mean, it's such a strange thing that it's like, what do we do? Our schools aren't supporting us. And so that led us to the following week. We actually interviewed Christy Lozano, who was one of my friend's daughters, who was running for she ended up running for school board in Santa Barbara. She was a Santa Barbara school teacher that exposed the agenda of CRT. She found kind of the back page in the teacher's guide of how to groom their students for transgenderism and promoting racism and really trying to take control away from the parents.
Yeah, it was password protected. It was password protected.
Yeah.
Keep going.
She was on Fox News and we being interviewed, and it was national news coverage, so we were able to get her on KSCO, and it was really exciting to hear that exposure coming out.
Yeah, that was Christy Lozano. That was an amazing night. You know, when I look back on this, I think, you know, people might be saying, hey, why are you guys covering every week? Well, there is 50 weeks of amazing content that is on our webpage, wakethebearradio.com. We'd love you to go check it out. If any of these topics are like, hey, this is amazing, I want to read more about it, or I want to listen more about what you guys talked about, I encourage you to go to our website, wakethebearradio.com. You can also listen to past shows here on KSCO. So you can look at our webpage as well to access shows. Okay, how are we doing? What's the next one?
Well, we moved to the subject of Ukraine. And remember, we had Ukraine on Fire earlier in the year, but this time we had John Mark Dugan the show. And he exposed the Nazi Azov battalion fighters that were in southeastern Ukraine. And so we talked about the humanitarian hoaxes that were there and how the news that we were receiving from mainstream media quite often was not the news that he was living. He was embedded with some of the Russian troops in some of those regions that were Russian-speaking that are territories of Ukraine. Right now, it's interesting that Russia's trying to annex them out. And the news seems to be, from the perspective of Russia, that they want to be annexed out of Ukraine. And so here again, we're seeing this news come back up. That was this week.
Yeah, it was interesting. We had read and learned about the Azov Battalion. And, you know, one of the things that, you know, obviously there's a propaganda war going on with Russia and Ukraine and the United States, and it's really hard to know exactly what is actually happening out there. But we do know this, that in 2015, the United States Congress declared the Azov Battalion to be a terrorist organization, an international terrorist organization. And so when Putin says, hey, one of the things I'm doing in Ukraine is actually denazifying it, that's partly true. You know, John Mark Dugan calling in from Russia, and then he went into Ukraine, and he was actually going around on the ground and showing us how there is a active, like, not these aren't just like neo-Nazis. These are actual Nazis left over from World War II who went into and inhabited Ukraine. And it's interesting because all the money that we've been spending in Ukraine just blows my mind. I mean, I looked at the number today. Yesterday, the United States Congress actually provisionally approved $12 billion more to be sent to Ukraine. That's on top of the $40 billion we've already sent. So $54 billion are being sent to Ukraine. And I'm thinking to myself, man, like, what? Couldn't we use some of that money to, like, put a school resource officer in every single high school and to stop shootings in America? Like, there's so many other things that money could be going to, but we're just pouring money into a country that on, like, the scale of corruption is like the third most corrupt country in the world, according to independent research. And we're just dumping money into this puppet guy, Zelensky. And I mean, it's hard to know what's going on there. But, gosh, it just seems like, you know, the pay-to-play thing is acting when we got a president, a resident who has children that were working with Ukraine and on the board of their, with no background, they're on the board of their industries of power. It just seems okay. There's something going on here, and we need to really look that you know, that movie. We cited the Wag the Dog movie. Remember the Wag the Dog movie?
Yeah. Yes, it was a Hollywood version of the presidency. So it was really a spin from Hollywood on what was going on. They used Hollywood sets, and they convinced the nation that they were going to a fake war to do certain things on that particular movie. But we tied that in because the narrative on Ukraine was so confusing and the discussion of the Ukrainian corruption, and then we were giving them money, and we did it for several weeks because we also talked about the whole Hunter Biden laptop.
Right.
And if that were true, then why weren't people, why wasn't the FBI investigating that? And what was really going on with the money laundering situation with Burisma and other situations in Ukraine? Were there biolabs? Was there violation of human rights by the Ukrainian Azov battalion? And so, again, we only know what we're being told.
Right. It's all a movie, and it feels like it's all a movie. I mean, I was looking on, I know when we were trying to log on at the church to use our Google accounts, it would come up and say, stand with Ukraine. Everything was stand with Ukraine, and I pray for Ukraine. I'm like, how about we pray for both sides? Like, we don't really know what's going on. It was all one-sided. It seemed to have a very clear agenda that this is the right thing to believe. I look at myself back in the day when 9/11 happened and we went into Iraq. I was like, yeah, we need to go in Iraq. Like we were deceived that there were weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. That was a pretense for going in. A lot of my liberal friends were like, hey, yeah, we're going in for oil and all these other reasons. And I'm like, no. And I flipped on that. I used to think, that we were fully justified. And now that I've learned and researched independently in all different places, CNN and all these major news networks were just basically creating a story for us to all believe. And, there's some truth, but half truths and marching us into war and getting all the American people to believe on it. And I'm just really concerned that that's what's going on again right now. And it's weird because even my liberal friends who were against the war in Iraq are now for us, stand with Ukraine. And because Putin's so bad, I'm like, Putin's a bad guy. He's an ex-KGB, but how much are we really hearing here? Are we really getting, both sides of the story here? And I don't feel like we are.
Yeah, and I think that's why we did the following 2 weeks later, as we progressed, we saw that there was a real importance in having an art of discernment, and that it's easy to try and label people, categorize them as black hats or white hats or gray hats, and what was the rubric we were supposed to use? I mean, we weren't even sure who were the good guys, who were the bad guys, who should we be giving money to, who should we be withholding money from, how much of this are we responsible for? Is our government doing some dark things that we need to have exposed? But obviously it's not going to come out from them. Mm-hmm. So we talked about the importance of having an ear to the Lord and being able to get discernment from Him.
Yeah.
And hearing God's voice regarding a matter, especially with the confusion of the news.
Well, and pray for peace. Pray not just for Ukraine, but pray for peace on both sides. Pray for God to, if there obviously are dark forces manipulating this whole thing, and it does feel like the elites are pushing us towards war, and war is horrible, and the people that suffer the most are the weakest, and these elites send off the children of the poor to fight the wars for them, and that is evil, and we got to stand against that, and we need to be awakened and be open and understand what's going on. I even look at, like, for instance, it was yesterday that they approved $12 billion more for Zelensky, and he said that's not nearly enough, the U.S. could do better, and I'm like, oh my gosh. Like, it's crazy.
Yeah, this is the man who owns a $3 to $4 million property in Florida.
Wow.
And he's accusing this nation, who is very generous, with not giving enough. That rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, I feel like I saw a meme today. He's on the phone. Zelensky's on the phone with Biden going, hey, where's my money? He says, hey, man, I'm hiring 87,000 new IRS agents to get you the money. Just give me some time.
Ouch.
Yeah. Well, then we got into the art of discernment. That was a big deal. That one of the most important spiritual disciplines we can have right now is discerning what is really going on and how and what we're to do to step up and fight back and to speak out, That was a big deal. I think we were on, like, the Ukraine for a while, 27, 28, and 29. Mm-hmm. We're all about Ukraine on Fire. We even had the guy that made the movie Ukraine on Fire on. Remember that?
Oh, yeah. And I think that was important so that we saw what the historical record was about Ukraine. Honest truth, I had to go check out what were the borders of Ukraine. I knew where it was from playing the game of Risk, but I didn't know all the modern borders and the strategic places when we first started hearing about Ukraine. So hearing the historic perspective of the color revolution of Ukraine and that how we have taken people out of power,
right.
Our U.S. government through the CIA and through interference, we've taken duly elected governments out all over the world, and
right.
One of them was Ukraine. And that we were part of that color revolution and putting Zelensky into office for this time. And so we have some responsibility in the poor management that they have right now in Ukraine.
Yeah, they were talking about wars that were fought where Ukraine was actually on one side and then they switched allegiances. They were, like, against Germany. And then in the middle of the war, with Germany. And then in the middle of the war, they switched to Russia. And so Ukraine has been, like, this buffer state that kind of plays both sides to try to get its best, its needs met. It's almost like a needs of survival. It's like they're in a place of survival, so they're having to do that. The history of that movie, Ukraine on Fire, was important. I mean, obviously, there's peppered here with different propaganda from different sides, right? So you have to look at everything with a grain of salt. You have to really use your discernment. But I think that's the key that we've been really focusing on with Wake the Bear, is that we need a church, we need a people, we need Americans to really be discerning, like to be awake, to sniff it out. If it doesn't smell right, read articles from both sides, read the arguments from both sides. Don't just believe the massive, six mega corporations that control 95% of the media in this country. I mean, that's one of the reasons why KSEO is so important. It's one of the second largest independent radio stations on the West Coast. So we need independent radio stations and independent media, and we need to not just poo-poo it if it doesn't align up with what CNN says. And we've got to be able to discern and wade through information and find out what is actually the truth here.
Yeah, that's so good. And as the spring kind of progressed, we talked a little bit more about the vaccines again as that was coming up. And there was a man named Dr. Brian Artis that we had on our show.
Yep.
Who did an analysis of what was in the vaccine. And he actually found traces of snake venom. And that was going out through many different mediums. News media broadcast, and so we had him on the show to say, what are you talking about? Can you explain to our listeners about this snake venom thing? And he released a film called Watch the Water and explained really that there were some things in the vaccine and in the virus itself that had a snake venom-like configuration.
Well, the sicknesses that people were having were very similar to people who had been bitten by serpents or by snakes. And I feel like that show, we went two shows on that and really got into it. And I haven't really heard much follow-up on that. And I'm wondering where it's at. We should come back around with that one. Chris, we actually have a caller. Oh, looks like we had two callers. Do you want to take a caller? We got 10 minutes left. Do you want to take a caller?
Absolutely.
All right. I'm on the board. I'm a newbie, so I won't drop you because I got you locked in. But let me take this. Looks like it's on line 3, and it's T. So how do we do that here? We just click this button right here. Oh, Alec, you're amazing. Alec, our engineer, is in here. All right. Hey, T, you are on Wake the Bear Radio, KSEO with Brandon and Chris. How you doing? What's your question? What's your comment? Are you there? I can't hear. Let me see. Hold on. It says it's on air here, right? This little button here. And is the volume not up? All right. We're going to get this working. Oh, there we
go.
How
about now?
T, how you? We can hear you now, T. Go for it.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah, you caught my attention when you're talking about Ukraine. I think a lot of people are just not really looking into this. They're just looking at just how it appears, and I think there's a lot more to this than appears on the surface. And I think we really have to be careful looking at the old, you know, knee-jerk response, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, which is not really always the case. I mean, look at the situation with Afghanistan and the Soviet Union that, we were helping the Mujahideen fight against the Soviet Union and all that. And then, what happened afterwards after, all those arms and stuff that we'd given to Afghanistan, and that kind of came back to bite us, didn't it?
Yes, it did. Great point.
Yeah, and I'm just really concerned as well about I don't even know how much it is now. Well, we're probably getting close to $1 trillion that's gone out there. There's, no accountability. I mean, Rand Paul is, the only person I've heard just says, hey, I'm not saying to not send the money, but we kind of need to look at really where is this going and do accountability. But just think about how that money could help the people in the United States.
Yes.
And I just think that the Europeans should be the ones that are really doing the majority of the assisting for Ukraine. I'm just not really comfortable with what's been going on with this.
Yeah, they're closer. They have more to lose. And they can actually send teams in there to find out what's actually going on, right? I think the number now is, as of August 11th, it was $54 billion. And then yesterday, approval of $12 billion. That's $66 billion. Interesting number. $66 billion going to Ukraine so far as of yesterday.
Yeah, and the thing is that, from what I've heard, Ukraine is one of the most corrupt countries in Europe, if not even beyond Europe. And, all the shenanigans going on there with Hunter Biden and, all that stuff, it just seems like there's, like I said, I think there's a lot more to it than just a simple thing of, Putin attacked Ukraine, so we need to, start sending billions and billions of dollars out there to help them.
Well, yeah, and then one of the things, T, that we had talked about, and I think it was week 40, we talked about the 16-year plan to destroy America, which was being passed around for a couple of years there. It's obviously a theory that this, but one of the theories was that the elites would create a war with Putin. And use that as a way to destabilize the nation and destabilize nations. And we've seen that happen over and over again with world wars. They're used to destabilize nations, and the weakest people suffer the most. And you can move things around and accomplish your tasks that you're trying to get done if you're an evil person. And we've seen that happen. So, yeah, great comments, man. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, and the thing real quick, we're kind of playing with fire, too. I mean, considering the... the hypersonic glide vehicles that they have now, and the just the nukes and everything, and I don't know. I'm not comfortable with this.
Well, and we know verbatim that Russia is the second most powerful military in the world, and China's catching up. So why are we believing that? Oh no, that Ukraine? We sent them some missiles and a bunch of money, and they're all of a sudden stopping this most powerful. One of the most powerful militaries in the world. I don't believe it. I think we're hearing a bunch of spin. So yeah.
And the last thing I just wanted to say is, again, I'm not supporting Putin or anything like that. But I could kind of take a step backwards and see that. Okay, if Ukraine had become a member of NATO and all that, and we started putting armament and missiles and stuff in there. That's kind of the same situation United States was in when the Soviet Union was putting missiles in Cuba.
Cuban Missile Crisis,
Yeah, so I kind of see that, Putin would probably not be very comfortable with that.
Really great point. Really great point. Well, we need to be discerning. We need to be in prayer. We need to pray for peace and that exposure of darkness would come out and that we would see Yeah, if there's a war happening, we don't get it right. Let's pray against war. How about that?
Absolutely. Yeah, and keep bringing up the stuff about the vaccines as well, because that's also a whole other topic, but that's another whole other thing.
Yeah. Well, thanks for calling, T, and please call back again.
Will do.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Yeah, that's so good. That was a good conversation. You know what? One of the things we need to do is there is a military-industrial complex that has driven warfare for centuries. And it's, if you follow the money, what is really going on? You know, I mean, I just think of during the war, there were, in our nation, the companies that were building our tanks were also helping build the Sherman tanks in Germany. And they were benefiting both sides as far as they were benefiting from the war. And there are quite a few people who, they make money during war and human crisis. And when people are driven out of their area, when there is an influx of people across borders, there are people that are put into advantage with that. And it also takes eyes off of the game that what we're supposed to be distracted from.
Right.
It is very real threat. I don't mean to downplay that, but it's a complicated issue.
Yeah, we need to de-escalate violence. We need to de-escalate the aggression. We don't need to throw fire on it. And I'm just really concerned that that's what's going on, as we're fighting a proxy war through Ukraine and. You know, and there's evidence that multiple levels, our government and various senators and representatives and presidents and speakers of the House have vested interests. They have a, what's the word? It's a conflict of interest in what decisions they're making, and it's a very dangerous game they're playing. And so, we just need to continue to pray that God will bring peace. We're running into the end of our hour. We're on KSEO Radio on Wake the Bear with Ron and Chris and Brandon. Ron is off site tonight, but Chris and Brandon are here, and we're glad you're here. Got 2 minutes left. We had one other call. It looks like it got dropped off. So, we got. How about we say a prayer? What do you think about that, Chris?
I think that's an excellent idea. I think that whenever we unify in our spirits together, and we have so many people listening on the radio, that it's powerful. And I also want to give a message of hope. I think we have everything we need in Christ and in the heart of Americans to turn this thing.
I agree.
And I believe if we come together, we will see a great awakening spiritually and for the morality of this nation.
Yeah, and I want to remember that Sean Foyt had a couple hundred people in Times Square this weekend worshiping God. Let us worship in the middle of Times Square. It was a childhood dream of his to lead worship there in the middle and make declarations over this, of our country and over that state. And I just agree with those. He's saying that the spirit of death is over, that the spirit of life is here, that Jesus loves this city, he loves this nation, and we need to turn to him. And so it was a really powerful, I had a friend, actually, we have a common friend who was on the ground there, a young couple that was part of that. So just excited to see. And the answer that here is, and I'll wrap it up with this, you know, Jake Lang was on here, we had him on twice. The first time he was talking about we need to push against marches and we need to stop it. And this last time we had him on, Jake Lang calling in from federal prison, he said, the only answer is God. This nation needs to turn back to God. So, Lord, we just pray that this nation would turn back to God and that we would see a mighty overturning of darkness and your light shine. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Yeah, and we just say, too, that, Lord, you're going to outlive America, but America will not survive without you. So
that's
we
right.
just ask for mercy. And we thank you that you have an answer to every single problem that we face.